Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Kayla. As a mom working from home, life is crazier than ever, especially on days like these. But I'm still ruling my day thanks to Metro. Metro gave me an awesome phone and tablet. Now my son can get his homework done on the tablet without needing to borrow my laptop. Plus, with Metro, Amazon Prime is included, so I can access great deals and discounts on school essentials and get them delivered in no time with unlimited free shipping. All while keeping an eye on my son to make sure he finishes his online practice tests before he starts watching his favorite Amazon originals.
Right now, get a new phone and tablet on us when you switch to Metro, the number one brand in prepaid. Plus, enjoy high-speed data on both devices with one Amazon Prime membership included for just $75 a month. Metro by T-Mobile, rule your day.
I'm Kayla, and that's how I rule my day with Metro.
With new lines of service after rebate redemption plus sales tax and activation fee. Offer valid for new Amazon Prime members on select rate plans. Amazon Prime has a $12.99 a month cost. Restrictions apply.
It's time!
With Bruce Buffer. And now, it's time for the voice of mixed martial arts.
We are!
It's Bruce Buffer.
Bruce Buffer.
From the shores of Malibu where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Houston, Texas, where the UFC is coming. We are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show we talk about what you think about but may be afraid to voice. Do not worry, we will voice it for you. We talk about everything on It's Time. News, politics, Super Bowl, President Trump, sex, drugs, rock and roll, you name it. No holds barred radio, folks. That's what we do here. That's what It's Time all about. So we're now going to start the show talking with my co-host, TJ DeSantis. TJ, did you watch the Super Bowl yesterday, and how are you?
I'm great, Buff. It's actually the first Super Bowl I think I've watched front to back in, honestly, probably since the last time the 49ers won the Super Bowl, which was, what, 1994?
Yeah, something like that. And I think Kansas City, it's been like, what, 50 years or something?
Yeah,
some
yeah,
ridiculous
long,
amount
long
of time.
Time.
So I thought it was an excellent game. It didn't go the way I wanted as far as my pick was concerned. I actually was going to go with Kansas City because Mahomes is one of those quarterbacks it's hard to bet against. But
right.
Through analyzing and talking to my friends that work at the NFL and stuff, we just came with the conclusion that the San Francisco was the better all-around team. And quite frankly, they had the game made. They gave it up.
Yeah,
they
honestly,
dropped the ball.
Honestly, Bruce, one thing that I don't like about the NFL or really kind of sports in general where it's, you know, a one-and-done sort of championship after a long season, it's tough to say that the best team always wins because, you know, games, you know, they have an ebb and flow. And sometimes, you know, a team is hot early, but they're surpassed by the other team in the end that, you know, gets things going. And if you run that best out of five, I mean, I don't know if Kansas City wins, you know, three out of five times to secure a series like that. But, you know, it doesn't matter. Yesterday, the Kansas City Chiefs, they got it done and Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, they got it done. Down by 10 points, 7 minutes or so to go, turn it around. And win by 10 or 11 points,
yeah.
Whatever it was.
They were plus 400 at one time in the fourth quarter, Bruce. Like, think about that. Those odds don't normally hit, especially in the biggest game of the year.
Well, you know, people say don't bet against Mahomes. I think that's pretty much going to be standard from now on. One man does not make a team, but one man certainly can make a team as he, you know, put it together with the other people on the team just playing incredibly. Okay. I don't know who got most valuable player.
He did.
He did get it?
Yeah.
That was the one prop bet I was going to make, and I didn't make it.
I mean, think about this, Bruce. Troy Aikman, who was doing color commentary on the night, in the fourth quarter said, Patrick Mahomes is just not playing very well tonight. He's just not in the ball game. And before that quarter was over, his team would be up by 10 points, and he'd be the Super Bowl MVP. That's a huge statement.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. So with that being said, the game happened, the halftime show, J-Lo and Shakira, you know, put on an awesome show, quite a production. J-Lo showing that 50 is the new 30, that's for sure. She's amazing. And Shakira, she's no spring chicken either. I think she's in her early 40s. They both put on a really great show. Was it one of the greatest halftimes ever? No. I don't know, but it was definitely a good one.
Yeah, Shakira's supremely talented as well, playing the guitar and the drums. Like, it was a production. I mean,
yeah,
you know, whether
yeah.
or not you liked it, you have to, like, admit that that was one of the better and bigger halftime shows in recent memory, of just all the coordination that went through, wardrobe changes, you know, multiple appearances by different people, just a lot of people on stage, and that stage at times looked like it was a black hole into the center of the world. It was doing all sorts of crazy things.
Yeah, it was wild. And then J-Lo showing her skills on the pole, obviously, you know, with the recent release of her movie Hustlers. And I admire, she's a hustler. Let's face it. This woman, since her days on In Living Color as a fly girl to where she is today, you can't help but admire her talent, her aggressiveness towards getting the job done, her goals, everything. I mean, she's pretty phenomenal. You gotta respect what you see there. And
most pop singers don't have careers into their 50s, Bruce. And not only does she have a career into her 50s, she just played the biggest, you know, sporting event essentially you can in a year. And I mean, how long has she been doing it? Like, that's incredibly impressive.
It's incredibly impressive. And also in this competitive age of staying relevant on Instagram, especially those that have no talent, which we're going to talk about here in a second, something that happened at the game. J-Lo's punching in at 112 Instagram followers. She's constantly putting out entertainment. I mean, this woman doesn't stop. She's kind of like the female Rock. I mean, when do they sleep?
Yeah,
they just don't seem to sleep, but good for her.
What was that
good
number? You said 100 and something. What is it?
I think she has 12 million followers on Instagram, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow, that's bonkers.
And I'm sure that last night, you know, if I knew the total yesterday, I'm sure last night that increased substantially.
When you have that many, I don't even know how much it can increase substantially. Because even a million wouldn't seem like a lot.
I don't know I wonder who the most followers or what the most followers somebody has on Instagram, but I would venture to guess that 112 million is pretty well up there.
I mean, I'll look.
You can find out. Check it out. Well, I'm gonna go into the irrelevancy here. I'm getting really sick of this. Okay, it's not gonna stop. It's gonna get more and more and more. You know, this happened during the World Series with the girls showing their boobs and saying they were trying to bring awareness to breast cancer, which I can appreciate the cause. As far as how it was done is another thing. So anyway, this was reported by TMZ. A model, obviously TMZ likes to refer to her as a smoking hot model, with a massive following, which in their minds, massive following. She has 250,000 followers. That's not massive, but that's pretty healthy. Okay. So she's arrested during the Super Bowl. We didn't see this. She hopped over the railing. She tried to go running on the field, right? And then flashed her ass. So you can see the report as it comes through. While she immediately got stopped by security, she managed to show the crowd her butt while she was walking away. I mean, that was her whole talent-filled endeavor. Ugh, I'm so sick of this. The police didn't think it was funny. They straight up arrested her. They charged her with misdemeanor trespass. She's booked. She had to take a mugshot. She's a 27-year-old with 250,000 followers on Instagram. She was released Monday, and then she posted a poolside video bragging about getting out. Young jailbait out of jail. I'm sorry, young jailbait. Okay, young jailbait out of jail. Fresh out of the pen. Fresh out Dade County. What?
She was not in the penitentiary.
No,
she was in a county jail.
County jail, right. So she faces up to 1 year in jail, convicted on a trespass charge. Nope. Obviously, that's not going to happen.
No.
She won't spend a minute behind bars. But, you know, this is just going to keep going on. But, you know, when I think in the past, yeah, we've had streakers at past games, streakers at soccer games. That was before social media. It's just we get right back down to it again. I'll end it with the statement again. I'm just getting a little sick of people just trying to be relevant to get their followers. But that's the world in which we live these days. And
Why earn it when you can just take it? I mean, that's the mentality there. Like, why earn it for what you do when you can just do something crazy and stupid?
Yeah, and become not even Andy Warhol 15 minutes of fame. I think it's more like a lousy 2.5 minutes of notice, about it.
Will anybody care a year from now? Probably won't remember.
I'm done talking about it, and I don't care about it anymore.
So real quick, some fact-checking here. Jennifer Lopez, kind of on the wrong side of the number there, Bruce. She has 1.7 million. just 1.7 million. So wait, not the 100 and some odd million.
Hold on.
That's what Google tells me. The number one most followed account on Instagram, shockingly, is Instagram with 331 million. Cristiano Ronaldo clocks in at number two with 201 million.
Okay, I have to correct you. I'm looking at her Instagram right now.
Okay.
It specifically says 112 million followers right on her page. Look her up. If you can check it right there. 112
yeah, so million. Hang on here.
There's right. No
you know,
way
you know what I'm doing? You know what I, so when you type in Jennifer Lopez IG followers, an article from 2016 is the first thing that populates. I didn't see when it was. So in 2016, she had, it was 51.7 million Instagram followers. Sorry. So my dog ate my glasses a week ago.
Sounds like it.
No, I'm serious. I'm not even kidding. It's not a joke. I've been without glasses for a week. And every day at around this time, which is about 1:30 Pacific, I get a migraine headache for seven straight days. This is the eighth day, Bruce. I don't have the headache yet, but I'm telling you, I cannot see. I'm so blind.
That's crazy. Well, after talking to me for an hour, you might have a headache. So we'll see what happens.
I mean, I've accounted for that. I mean, I got my Tylenol. We're good.
Yeah, account for that, definitely. You know, it's funny. Lopez has a very interesting thing on her Instagram here. I mean, you know how hugely popular she is, 112 million followers. It says, no matter where I go, I know where I came from. Text me. And she puts a phone number in there.
Huh.
How many texts is this woman getting, for God's sake?
And can we text her and say, can you come on? It's time. And tweet about it, please.
Yeah, right. I'll do that after the show.
Perfect.
I'll get it down there. No problem. I'll just call
her. Hey, you never know. Hey, I mean, that's a real Instagram, so.
Well, the way she works, I wouldn't be surprised because she knows what it takes, obviously. All right, listen, tragically speaking, on a more serious note, two people are dead. One is injured. There's been a shooting today at Texas A&M University in the Commerce Residence Hall. Yeah. That's all the news has come through so far.
It's terrible. And, you know, you hope that it isn't the start of something worse. You know what I mean? And this is the first big one, I guess, of the new year, at least that I can remember. We always seem to hear about these. And
I don't know. There's been others.
Right. But I mean, this is the one that's grabbed the headlines, I think, in the biggest manner because it's a university. But I don't know, Bruce. It's horrible.
It's horrible. And from what I'm seeing here, they haven't found the guy.
Right. I mean, this is ongoing as we are recording.
Ongoing investigation. That's crazy. Now, in London, on another note, this blows me away. I know it can happen. Listen, World War II, the biggest world war aside from World War I, obviously, everything that happened, it's been roughly 75 years since World War II, roughly, give or take. The police have evacuated a number of streets in central London. They just found, again, an unexploded World War II bomb.
We talk about this all the time.
I know. And they found another one.
Yeah, this is not a rare thing. If you hear this and you'd never heard of, you know, this before, you'd be like, oh, my God, this is a one in a million thing. How does this happen? Like, this is at least the fifth or sixth time we've talked about this on this show. And granted, I mean, we've been doing it for over 10 years. But still, that's crazy. Think of all the, you know, progression in time that has moved forward where it's like people, you know, build things and dig things. And like, how is this even possible?
I don't know, but I do know one thing, and those of you that are not historically minded from what happened in World War II that are listeners, I know many, many, many of you are, of course, but you have to understand that the air bomb raids over London by Germany, you know, with their nighttime raids, daytime raids, everything, dropping bombs all throughout London, it's just thousands and thousands of bombs, but it's still mind-bending how, after all these years, one can be found like this, especially with construction and everything else. They had to evacuate thousands of workers to leave their buildings. It's a real busy neighborhood, and they're limiting access to the area. So who knows what they're going to do?
I mean,
anyway,
you assume that nothing is going to happen in the sense that, I mean, it didn't, you know, go off to begin with, and it's been this long, maybe aging. And I mean, I don't know how those things work, but you still have to take every precaution necessary. And that's terrifying. Think about how many years people have just, you know, come and gone from around that area when, you know, there's literally a bomb right there.
It'd be interesting. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good.
It'd be interesting to see that when they get the bomb back and they detonated, if it was detonatable, if I said that correctly. In other words, if it was a live bomb.
Yeah. It'd
be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing here, you know, we talk about the wall, Trump wanting to build the wall that's being built, all the stuff going on, how the drug smugglers get their drugs across the border. obviously they walk across the boats on the ocean, the tunnels. But listen, the federal agents, show you how elaborate this is. Federal agents just discovered a drug smuggling tunnel that stretches about 3/4 of a mile. It's the longest one ever discovered along the Mexican Southwest border. 4,309-foot tunnel starts in Tijuana, 250 feet south of the border, and goes all the way to San Diego. It's equipped with air ventilation, electricity, rail and cart system, elevators at each entrance.
Come on now.
Yeah,
someone's got to be turning a blind eye to this. Like, you can't construct that and not draw the attention of some sort of authority.
Well, they did. The tunnel was finally...
I mean, that's what I'm saying, Bruce. Like, someone's corruptible in all of that. You can't build something like that without someone taking notice.
I would venture to guess that you're completely correct. But it was finally discovered by the DEA and their partners at what they call the Tunnel Task Force.
Wait, this is so common. They have a task force?
They have a task force, a multi-year investigation. The tunnel's 70 feet below the ground.
Oh, my God.
It's 5 feet, 5 inches tall and 2 feet wide. Now, think about it. 5 feet, 5 inches tall, and 2 feet wide. So probably they're literally putting stuff on rail and cart systems and then putting it through. It's not that you're walking through They're just transferring drugs on the rail and cart system all the way through.
How do you even, I mean, you have to have some machinery to do that because a person can't even dig that by hand. I mean, you can't force yourself to go through something that is 2 feet wide for that long period. Like, you can't do it unless it was the smallest person alive, which then probably wouldn't have the strength to do it.
No, it's a cart system, but they had to get in there to build that darn thing. Who knows? It just blows me away. They had another related article. A 16-year-old was arrested for using a remote-controlled car to smuggle drugs across the border. You know, little...
Really?
Yeah. Put the drugs in the car and transfer it and control it with this thing and send it across the border.
Seems like a bad sitcom stunt. You know what I mean?
They're doing everything they can down there. They're doing everything they can to get the drugs across.
I was at the dog park yesterday, and... somebody was flying a drone over the dog park, just causing all the dogs to go crazy. And finally, I don't know what happened. Either the wind knocked it out of the sky or it just ran out of battery. But it fell inside the dog park, and it did not win. The dogs tore that thing apart.
Good. I think that's great.
Yeah.
No problem. You know, we see people do stupid things. Here's a couple of stupid things. I'm just going to talk about this real quickly. A man was in court being charged for marijuana possession. You know what he did in his court, standing up in court?
What?
He pulled out a joint and lit it and started to smoke it in court.
What?
Yeah, he's there arrested on court for a marijuana charge.
Well,
but then he stands up and he lights a joint in court.
What's his Instagram? I mean, come on. What are you doing? Like, is that what you're doing? You're trying to get 420 more followers on Instagram? Like, come on.
I think what I saw, because I can't bring up the article right now, but what I saw is just he wanted to make a point that, you know, pot's legal here, it's legal there, it should be legal here. Let me show you how I feel.
I'm with you, but just don't be a dummy.
Yeah, that's stupid. Here's another thing. We got a couple of stupid. Stupid is a stupid does, shall we say. A pizza shop, okay? It was east of Chicago pizza store. It's funny. East of Chicago pizza store in Barberton, Ohio, right? They're known for their crazy billboards, but they made light of human trafficking in one of their billboards, right?
Oh, no.
And they were forced to take it down. The billboard is a picture of a pizza with the name of their pizza shop on it and the phone number. Here are the words on the billboard. Get this. Fat people are harder to kidnap.
What?
Yeah. Fat people are harder to kidnap. Come eat here. Fat people are harder to kidnap. How friggin' stupid do you have to be to make these kind of decisions?
I mean, you're being offensive to bigger people while also making light of really one of the most overlooked problems I think we have in the world in human trafficking. Mm-hmm. Not a good look.
Not a good look. And they're obviously, you know, paying the price for that one to whatever price they're paying, but
just dumb. Yeah, okay.
Seriously dumb. Now, we talk about esports all the time. It's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The little article I couldn't help but look after. 20 somethings now are actually ditching Twitch, you know, which is a big place to have your videos and everything now.
Right.
And they're moving over to other places. They're getting like $10 million contracts, TJ.
I don't understand how. I mean, that's great. That's awesome for them. Make all the money you can. But how does it make sense to pay someone $10 million? And what are you getting after paying them $10 million? You know, how does that make sense? I need to see the breakdown on that.
I need to see the breakdown. I need to learn more about this. But every report we're getting about how big it's getting, the money that's changing hands, the people getting involved in this. And I've got a special category here for our show, which is esports, because it's something we're going to be talking about. And I told you before, I'll probably be working more in. Most definitely. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, good for you. Good for everybody. Make it a thing.
Make it a thing, whatever. We'll see what happens. Okay. Kobe Bryant, you know, this tragic incident that happened a week or so ago with his passing and all the other people in the helicopter. And immediately what was that?
I didn't say anything.
Immediately the jerks come out of the woodwork. Now memorabilia prices are obviously soaring like crazy after Kobe's passing. But you know what? These scumbags that sell counterfeit material, shall we say, are loading the market, trying to take advantage of the high prices that are being paid. I'll give you an example. A game-worn jersey signed by Kobe from the 2004-2005 series, supposed to hit $6,000 before his death, but the price has already gone off to a starting bid of $6,500, and the item has still got another month to run. Now, another one, a rare Kobe baseball card, which was really originally expected to sell for around $2,500, has sold in the private market after Kobe's passing for $50,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, other dealers feel it's not good to capitalize on Kobe's passing to make money, you know, from emotional fans. But this is just the business that, you know, people are in. It's what's going to happen. I remember when Magic Johnson, way back in, when he announced the fact that he had HIV, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people were saying, buy his cards now because he's going to stop playing. And there was a huge rush on Magic Johnson material. You know, it's kind of morbid when you think about it, but it's part of the collecting end when you think about it.
I hate to say it. It's the market. You know what
I
mean?
It's the market. Yeah.
There's a reason the market shifts. And unfortunately, when it comes to sports memorabilia or really any memorabilia of any kind, sometimes tragic and unfortunate incidents make that needle move big.
And that's what we're talking about right here, a very tragic incident. So a lot of people mourning Kobe, and righteously so, a lot of great tributes to Kobe, talk about statues and everything else, and this will be ongoing. The world has definitely come out for Kobe Bryant after his passing. Let's go into the UFC 247. By the way, I got an announcement. I'm going to be at Arizona State University this Thursday, where I will be appearing for their basketball game. That's all I'm going to say.
That's
not going to tell you what I'm doing or anything. And from there, of course, I'm heading off to Houston, Texas, to the Toyota Center for the big UFC 247. So let's get into this right now. Okay, we've got a heck of a show here again. Now I'm just going to go through the main event fights alone.
Okay.
The first fight alone is Derek Lewis and Ilir Latifi.
Yeah, it's a great fight.
Great fight. You know, two big boys are going to be throwing punches.
Yep.
Dan Ng and Mirsad Bektik should be a good gopher. Valentina Shevchenko and Caitlin Chukwugian, pretty wild. I think that's going to be a hell of a thing. I don't think Valentina is going to really be superbly dominant in that. You know, she's got a very tall fighter to go against.
She's a huge favorite, like minus 1,400 favorite.
Is she really 1,400?
Something like that. Let me get the latest line. It's pretty big.
That's like one of the biggest lines ever. I think the only time anything's been bigger than that was when Holly Holm fought Ronda and it was 20-1.
Or how about, that was pretty big. You know, it's interesting. One of the biggest upsets, if not the biggest upset, occurred in the Toyota Center, which you're going to be in on Saturday night. And that was George St. Pierre coming up short to Matt Serra at UFC 69. And, you know, if you believe in things like lightning striking twice, maybe in the same spot, you might want to put some money on Miss Chukagian. Looking at Valentina right now, she's as low as minus 900, but as high as minus 1429.
That'll go down by fight time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can see it's trending down, but
yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, if you can get the line plus 800 or so for Caitlin Chukagian.
It's time for me to record for all the podcast listeners around the world a personalized championship audio or video introduction. Special offers now are available at brucebuffer.com, plus more personalized audios and videos for all special occasions such as weddings, birthdays, baby births, podcast intros, special business and corporate events, and much more, as your wish is my command. Check it out. Let me do them for you. Go to brucebuffer.com and send in your request now.
At Metro, you get everything you need to rule your school year. Right now, get a new phone and tablet on us when you switch. Plus, enjoy high-speed data on both devices for just $75 a month. And with one Amazon Prime membership included, you can watch Amazon Originals, movies and shows, stream endless music, and enjoy free shipping. Metro by T-Mobile, rule your day. With new lines of service after rebate redemption plus sales tax and activation fee. Offer valid for new Amazon Prime members. Amazon Prime has a $12.99 a month cost. Restrictions apply.
At T-Mobile, you can get two powerful iPhone 11 Pros on us.
The three cameras are perfect for capturing my DIY projects. I'm repainting our car.
Wow, the ultra-wide camera really captures all the flames.
Switch today and get two new lines for $90 plus two iPhone 11 Pros on us with qualifying trade-in.
For well-qualified customers plus taxes and fees, Essentials plan with auto-pay, phone via 24 credits. If you cancel before 24 credits, remaining balance on full price of $999.99 for each device may be due. Contact us. Qualifying port-ins and finance agreements required.
Only time you should ever bet a fight, in my opinion. Otherwise, where's the return on the money? I don't bet fights, but, you know, people listening, it's your choice. Go for it. But, you know, I have another choice here. You got the main championship bout in the main event. When I say main championship bout, I mean because it is the main event of the card. And you've got John Jones, you know, the champion you never really want to bet against, I guess, Dominic Reyes. But, you know, TJ, I like this fight.
It's a great fight. And one that, unfortunately, I think is a little bit overlooked in the marketing aspect of things. You know, we're just kicking off 2020. And then also, you know, we're on the heels of Conor McGregor on pay-per-view just a few weeks ago. But right. No, it was a fantastic fight. And, you know, the 205-pound division for the UFC has always been one of the biggest, if not the biggest, division. It was the glamour division throughout the, you know, early part of the 2000s. And John Jones has proven to sort of shut that down because he's been so dominant. It's hard to, you know, get excited about a division when the man sitting atop of it, his biggest rival is himself and making sure that he doesn't screw things up for himself. John Jones, you take away all of the missteps in his personal life, you don't make any arguments, or at least any sensible arguments, that he's not the greatest 205-pound fighter of all time. Dominic Reyes, he hopes to upset that apple cart on Saturday. It's going to be, you know, tough, but he's a very talented fighter, and, you know, he's not the biggest underdog either. I mean, we already talked about Chookagian being a gigantic underdog, but Dominic Reyes, I mean, you know, plus 315. Like, there's not many people that stand in front of John Jones and isn't, you know, a 4-1 underdog. Dominic Reyes getting some respect, I think, from, you know, some of the bettors, and for good reason. He's supremely talented.
I think so. And also, the fighters that John Jones has always had the biggest trouble with are the tall, long fighters. You know, Gustafsson, he's coming up against another one here in Reyes. Reyes, quite the striker that he is. I mean, we'll see.
Let's not forget John Jones and his fight with Thiago Santos. You know, that was a difficult fight for him. I'm curious to see if John comes out really motivated to try to make a statement here, because, I mean, a lot of people thought that Santos had won that fight. I think John Jones can sort of, you know, get some momentum behind him if he's able to turn away Dominic Reyes and do so in impressive fashion.
We will see, as the saying goes, but it's going to be a hell of a night in Houston. Very excited about it. I'm sure this show is going to sell out down in Texas. I would definitely venture to guess. The intercards look really strong. Just another strong night. I will see you all definitely from the Toyota Center in Houston on Saturday night. And again, those of you in Arizona, if you go to the ASU game, I'll look forward to seeing you there too. Very, very excited about all of that. TJ, I wanted to go over one more thing and I can't find it here. I don't know what I did with it, and that's typical of me.
All right.
But it's just the way it is.
We do
have a short show today. We each have a short week. You're traveling to Invicta. I've got to get on the road on Thursday. And what's going on in Invicta? Who's the big mainliner there?
The Atomweight Championship of the World is on the line when Jin Yu Fry rematches a lady named Ashley Cummins, who trains in San Diego. Pretty good fight. Jin Yu Fry has proven to be the best atomweight in Invicta, which is the 105-pound division. A lot of talent there, and yeah, that title's on the line. Co-main event, UFC veteran Pearl Gonzalez will be fighting. She takes on a very bright up-and-comer in Miranda Maverick, who is 22 years old, made her pro debut at just 19 years old, and has really been on a tear. So if you like mixed martial arts, it's worth your attention Friday night.
Very cool. And I see the Cyborg reigned supreme the other week. Did you happen to see her fight?
I did, yep.
And was it a challenging fight for her?
She did really well. I mean, Julia Budd is no joke. I mean, she's a very good fighter, and Cyborg did what she needed to do to stop her, and that's a very impressive feather in her cap. I would love to see her fight Amanda Nunes again. You know, after seeing Cyborg sort of collect herself in you know, the last fight and you know, make the proper sort of moves in her personal life, I think, to put on this type of performance, it's a shame that we, you know, can't see that fight right now. I'd love to see it, but you know, Cyborg, after, you know, coming up short and then getting the wins over Felicia Spencer and now Julia Budd, I mean, yeah, she's still one of the best of all time.
Exactly, but you know, she's signed with Bellator now. We're not going to see Cyborg and Nunes go at it again. I mean, I was saying it could never happen
never.
In the
never
future.
Say never.
Yeah, but I mean just right now.
It's the fight to make. It's the only fight to make. But you're right. Contracts get in the way, and you know, Dana White and company decided not to be in the Cyborg business, as they said. And you know, there's some reasoning behind that. I get it. And you know, c'est la vie. We'll be all right. Everyone will be you know, interested in watching both of those fighters continue to move forward in their careers. And you know, should magic ever happen and they can get back together, I'll be the first one to buy the pay-per-view or be there in person.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, another note here as we talk about the future entertainment in the world of mixed martial arts, UFC and elsewhere, that John Jones made a statement at 32 years old. God, I don't know why I thought John was older than that. But at 32 years old, he claims that in 10 years, he'll still be on top, which means John Jones plans on fighting for 10 more years. That's in his mind now.
Well, I mean, he needs to fight 10 more years to make up for the money that he lost the last, you know, few years, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but I mean, think about this, and I think this is why you think John Jones is older than he actually is. He's been around for like a decade plus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the youngest UFC champion. And, I mean, I remember talking about how he was a champion before he could legally rent a car in some states. And that's crazy. And you know what's even crazier, Bruce? Like, his talent hasn't really dropped off at all. Like, yes, he's been in some closer fights, but you can't point to John and say, oh, you're not as good as you used to be. He still wins. He still does what he needs to do. It'll be interesting to see what he does on Saturday night.
Exactly. And I saw this quote here just from Kamaru Usman. Do you know what he plans on being after he stops fighting? A marriage counselor.
Hey, you know, I mean, does he have that background? Does he have a degree in counseling or therapy?
The quote is, I want to be a marriage counselor. I think I've always been very good at being able to step back from situations of what's going on and give advice. Well, this gets back to something I've said on the show before. We're all good at that. If you think about it, there's objective and subjective. And when we're subject, you know, when we're objective, friends are going through relationship breakups or issues. Me personally, I know I always give really good advice. I think most people do when they're being objective. It's when you're subjective, it's very hard to think as well as being objective.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's very hard to separate yourself from a situation you're involved in. And yeah, I don't know. I think my advice is pretty great.
Well, I like his goal. He says he's shooting for a net worth of $250 million. Good for you. I hope you make it. I really do. I really do.
I'm shooting for a net worth of 250.
Go for it, baby. Make it happen. Make it happen. You got a week to make it happen before we come back, and I want to hear it's happened by the time we get back.
I'll definitely make $250 before the weekend is over.
There you go. See, I knew I was right.
Boom.
Boom.
You know,
done.
It's the little things in life you got to appreciate.
Yeah. Like in the great sayings of, streakers or whatever they are at Super Bowls. What? No, I'm just kidding. What? the English language. What happened to it, TJ? Is it disappearing?
I mean, it's evolving while de-evolving.
Yeah, evolving into LOL, LMAO, WTF, and yeah, it's evolving. Oh, it's definitely evolving. Very, mm-hmm. very intelligent evolving.
Right.
Okay.
And it's shorter.
It's what?
It's shorter.
It's shorter. Yeah. Well,
saves time.
All right. That's good. Nothing like the command of the English language. I think it's one of the most beautiful things in the world.
I mean, you're speaking to a guy who needs it to make money, so I agree.
Exactly. I resemble that remark. On that note, TJ, tell everybody what's happening. Let's sign off.
Yeah, no, just I'd appreciate it if everyone checked out Invicta coming up on Friday night. You can watch it live on UFC Fight Pass. I'll be on the call with Julie Kedzie. You can also check me out on Saturday night on Between Rounds Radio, which you can find on Sherdog.com. You might actually appreciate this. We're doing post-fight radio, Bruce, beat down after the bell. And my guest to break down the card will be former UFC title challenger Jeremy Horn, along with MMA mogul superstar agent from back in the day, Monty Cox.
Awesome. Well, look, you got two mouthpieces there. Monty Cox, who can definitely talk for an entire hour without stopping and always has something very, very relative to say. Monty and I just spoke last week about his book that he's writing and everything else. Very, very cool. Please tell Monty I said hi. Jeremy Horn, one of the more intelligent individuals who have ever stepped foot into the octagon or to fight in the game, a man who's I think his fight record is going to be hard for many to beat. What is Jeremy's fight record? Like 100 fights? What was it was a crazy amount.
Yeah, it's bigger than that, Bruce. Let me pull it up. And for Jeremy, a veteran who's had as many fights as he's had, really did a good job at not taking a lot of damage, which can't be said for some fighters that only fight, you know, 20, 25 times. Jeremy has fought, he is 91, 22, and 5.
Wow.
So, yeah, well over 115 fights, 120 fights.
Wow. Well, two of the people I've always liked a lot all through my years in the world of mixed martial arts. So give those two gentlemen my best and have a great time.
Will do, Buff. Yeah, it's going to be a fun time, so people can check it out live immediately following the fights on SureDog.com.
Very cool. One little anecdote I want to tell you is that for the Super Bowl party, Rupert, I went to Palm Springs this weekend to see my old friend Chad McQueen, who I haven't seen in physically in 4 years, Steve McQueen's son. You know, we talked about many times in the show because I've been best friends for, since he was 12. And went down there, visited him. He's still got a ton of these Porsches and the motorcycles that Steve had. I had so much fun looking at all the memorabilia at his house. It's amazing because that brand, as we've talked about before, like James Dean, Elvis Presley, Marilyn Monroe, is a very, very successful. The Steve McQueen brand is a very, very hugely successful brand with a lot of stuff coming out.
Right.
And he said now it's even getting more popular. It's just the whole, genre of looking back, in the old days, the collector's mode has really taken off.
Right.
And Steve McQueen is actually, his brand is responsible for driving a lot of the collector mode sales. I'm going to tell you a quick story real quick. We were, when Steve passed away in 1980 at the age of 50 from mesothelioma, I would never say it right, cancer, which finally got him in the end.
Mesothelioma.
Mesothelioma, thank you.
Or mesothelioma, one of the two. Isn't it a cancer that stems from like asbestos?
Yes, and they claim that some of his early days working in the shipyards might have had something to do with that. But yes, it is a cancer caused by asbestos. Anyway, he had left Chad a lot of stuff because he was a big memorabilia collector. I used to visit him up at his hangar in Santa Paula and go through all his collection. It's just unbelievable. I could go on and on and on, but I won't right now. What I want to tell you is that he left Chad two Submariner Rolexes that were stainless steel with the black bezel and dial, right? Chad and I were out surfing one day shortly after Steve's passing, and the watch fell off Chad's hand.
Oh, no.
We spent 2 hours. We knew we'd never find. We had to do it, though. We were down there in diving mask, you name it, scoping the bottom, the sand, trying to find. Never found it. He just had the other watch appraised. You ready?
No.
$500,000.
Oh, my God.
$500,000.
Okay,
why?
So roughly,
because
roughly,
it was owned by Steve McQueen.
Roughly where was this watch dropped, and do you have a metal detector?
Yeah, but you need an underwater metal detector to find it. Believe me, it's washed out to sea by now. But we were definitely having a little reminiscing period over that this weekend, that's for sure. And many, many other things that times that I shared with him and shared with his legendary father, Steve McQueen. But it was all good. It was a great trip for me. Just went down to see my buddy. And, sometimes you just got to get away. And certain friendships and certain relationships are meant to always be around forever, even if you don't talk.
One of my best friends said this to me, saying, we're such good friends that, when we don't talk, and sometimes even, years will pass, we never get reacquainted. We always just pick up where we left off.
Exactly. Exactly correct. Now, those of you that would like to follow Steve McQueen's brand, I'm going to give you, because they're constantly doing work with Mustang, and there's so much stuff going on with the brand, and I'm going to give it to you in a heartbeat as soon as I can find it. As soon as I can. Come on, Bruce, get this down. Come on, come on, come on. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. Da, 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 da. Bear with me, TJ. Phil.
Oh
my gosh, Bruce.
Bruce Buffer doesn't know how to keep things straight on his computer, and that's all right.
All right, Official McQueen Racing. That's where you want to go. McQueen Racing.
Is that a .com? Is that what that is?
No, this is at Official McQueen Racing.
So on Instagram. Got it.
Yeah, Instagram. Check it out.
There you go.
All right, TJ. I'll be back next week. I'll be back from Texas. Can't wait to go down to Texas. Love Texas.
Yeah, get some barbecue.
After the show, not before. I want to be light and right. Got to fly, baby. Got to move around that octagon.
All right.
But I definitely will enjoy it. I definitely will. I got some friends down there going to go out afterwards.
There you go.
All right, TJ. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy yourselves. Have a productive week. We're in the beginning of 2020. Make it work, folks. Go after this year. Set your goals. Write them down. Learn about them. So when you set out on the path to fulfill that goal, you walk forward being the best you can be. And if you are the best you can be and perform with the best you can be, then you're winning. Whether you're the best in the industry or not, or whatever you're doing, the bottom line is you're doing your best. And that's what we're all about in It's Time Radio. Be the best you can be, everybody. It's time to have a great week, and I'll be back next week. Buffer out.
The preceding podcast was a TJ DeSantis production. Comments, questions, and inquiries can be directed to desantisprod@gmail.com.
At T-Mobile, you can get two powerful iPhone 11 Pros on us.
The three cameras are perfect for capturing my DIY projects. I'm repainting our car.
Wow, the ultra-wide camera really captures all the flames.
Switch today and get two new lines for $90 plus two iPhone 11 Pros on us with qualifying trade-in.
For well-qualified customers plus taxes and fees, Essentials plan with autopay, phone via 24 credits. If you cancel before 24 credits, remaining balance on full price of $999.99 for each device may be due. Contact us. Qualifying port-ins and finance agreements required.